This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
So I'm really excited to kick off this summer series for you guys. Like Matthew said, we're going to be doing Ephesians. So I'm going to kick us off with the first chapter, verses 9 to 10. Now, I'd like to say that I picked this because, I don't know, an angel came into me in a dream and said, Adam, you... the spitting image. I'm going to get heckled from Matthew all morning on. And said, oh, this is the verse you do. It's just a matter of case of this was the only week I could do. So that was planned for this week. So we're going to go for it. But actually, kind of unpacking it, I got more and more excited and actually realized, I'm quite passionate about this one. So it all it's kind of funny how God plans that even before we plan it. So yeah, exactly. To be honest, I found the title a little bit intimidating. So the plan to fulfill God's purposes. And I was like, I've got to come up with a plan. I was like... I struggle to think, like, week by week what I want for food for the rest of the week. So if I'm doing a shopping list, I'm like, what ingredients do I need? Like, I struggle with that. And for all you guys, I've got to come up with a plan to fulfill God's purposes. So I was like, this is a bit of a hard one. But actually, when I kind of sat and thought about it and prayed about it, I was like, God was like, I've already got a plan. So you're totally fine. Chill out. So I'm literally going to reiterate the plan back to you this morning. So I'm preaching back to a crowd that knows it all already. But if anything, just inspiring you to go into the next season. It's kind of like, Bible Week always feels like a nice time because, who had a good time at Bible Week, by the way? Yeah, it's good, wasn't it? So Bible Week always feels like a good time where it's like, oh, we all get fired up and then it's like the start of a new chapter for us. And we kind of go in refreshed with a new place. Kind of a bit like what Paul was saying this morning. It's like, we're ready, we're going in to the next season with our eyes fixed on Jesus. And so this is just to inspire you on what you guys already know. Really, so yeah. So I'm actually going to cheat. I'm going to read from verses 7 to 10, just to give you a bit more context. So I know, right? No one's actually doing that verse, are they? We're okay. Good. Cool. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all his wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's a really cool little last line. It's like, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven on earth. And I like that word, unite. And that's kind of what got me thinking, kind of listening to this. It's like, actually, at the end of the day, the fulfillment of God's purpose is to bring everything together, to kind of bring all, like, I'm a geek, so I like Lord of the Rings, but most of Lord of the Rings is having all the characters kind of scattered in different parts of the story, but at the end, they all come together, and they're all in that elven garden, kind of going, we did it, everyone! And so that's my image of hobbits jumping on a bed and going, yep, we made it, guys. So that the thing is, there are so many different aspects of God's plan and purpose. But this is just kind of one I'm passionate about, and that is the body of Christ. That is us being a united front, coming together. So that's really what I want to talk about. Because we reflect God, right? So if God is the standard of unity, because he's in unity with himself, with the Spirit and the Son, if we reflect him, we are the standard of unity in this world. Which is a big... It's a big thing to take on. So before, in the world, the enemy wants to distract us and kind of divide us with things like culture or race or color or careers or sexuality, politics, opinions. We have to recognize before any of these things, we belong to Christ. We are united together through him. I am a child of God before I am part of any of those things. And most of those things aren't bad things. But if they are kind of number one in my life, and they're the kind of things, so like I said, I'm a geek, I like all kind of Marvel and stuff like that, and those kinds of things. If I let that be the kind of, I say that's who I am and that's what I own, that will actually feed into my relationship with God, rather than my relationship with God feeding into those things and into those areas. I've got a real passion for going into the gaming industry and bringing Jesus into that industry, but if I get consumed by that, then it'll work the other way around, and the enemy will use it against me rather than me using it against him. Make sense? Cool. So I'm going to bounce back and forth between 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to stick a finger in there or a tab, I guess, or whatever you've got on your phone, we're going to be flicking back and forth because that is like, it is the place where it talks about unity and the body quite a lot. So just say yeah when you get there. So I decided to nick Ezekiel's thing at Bible Week. So we're going to go from chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. For we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, whether we were all given one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. So like I said, before we attach any kind of labels, titles, anything to our lives, we are Christ first. And part of that is that I believe that there's this image in Revelation that I'm going to go on to in a second, where I believe that part of God's plan for us is to become what's called the bride of Christ. So if we go on to slide 2, I'm going to kind of break it down, becoming the bride of Christ, being part of the body of Christ. I'm going to break it into 3 sections. So we've got the first section, which is the bodies of church. So literally these guys in the room or whoever normally attends, like how we can impact each other and impact the kingdom and become the bride of Christ together. And then the second bit will be the body in the city, how as a city we can work together to fill the kingdom. And then we'll look very, very quickly at kind of globally what that looks like. So over the whole planet, over its eternal plan. So it's a lot to squeeze into 15 minutes, but we're going to do it. So it's totally fine. So let's go on to slide 3. So this is a wonderful illustration that my secret illustrator, who won't let me name her or them, but you could probably guess who did it. So I'm just going to read from Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9. So let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb, / Jesus, has come, and his bride, us, has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So the bride represents the relationship we as a collective body has with Jesus. You've got that whole, it's actually a couple of times, but I can remember there's one in Colossians where it talks about husbands and wives and husbands lay their lives down for their wives as Christ loved the church. And it's that kind of imagery coming back up again. So it's like, yes, we're a body, but we're also a bride. So we'll go with those imageries just to kind of get you there, essentially. Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. It's basically this image that we aspire to kind of go towards, but also we have to realize we've already been given this. So we've already been cleansed by Christ. We've received, there's no blemish. We are whole in him because, as we said, Jesus has given us everything. When Jesus died for us, we got all that stuff. But we still want to move forward and push forward as it's like this thing to aspire for. But if the bride looks something like this, next slide, I don't think we'd be very practical as a bride working out God's purpose. Now, so my original commission to the illustrator was that, oh, can you just take a few limbs off the bride? Give her a peg leg or like a bionic arm or like an eye patch. And she was worried that if a pirate walked into church this morning, they might feel offended that I used that image. So a decapitated bride, basically. So, yeah. So I'm going to go back to that Corinthians chapter 12. So if you're there, just follow. Now, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop me being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of... But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted. If there were only one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of one body. I'm just going to skip ahead to... we'll go from verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, I like to see, if we're looking at kind of each other and as this church, I like to see the parts of the body, less as actually like physical limbs, but actually our gifts and our talents and the things that God has given us to kind of equip us to build his kingdom and to encourage one another. So I'm going to use a musical analogy because I know Chris likes to use his running analogy, so I'm going to go with music one. So who likes, he's not here at the moment, he's on a plane somewhere, but who loves an Amar guitar solo? Yeah, it's pretty tasty, right? And who here plays guitar out of interest or plays an instrument or to some degree or another? And who here has ever compared themselves to Amar's guitar playing or just any musician in general, okay? So yeah, there's a few people. And like, I've known Amar for about 8 years, right? And I think the reason I love his playing so much is not just because he creates really tasty melodies and I'm like, oh, so good and everything like that. But actually, when he plays, it's as if he's singing. It's as if he's doing a spiritual song. You know, this morning when we're all singing together and we're bringing that sound and tongues and whatever, that is essentially what he's doing through his guitar playing. But the thing is, that is such a unique sound. I've known Amar for 8 years, and I know he brings his whole life. But then I feel like if someone else went, oh, because Amar is technically better at playing, I should never ever play guitar on a Sunday morning. I would find that a shame, because I never get to hear your song, essentially. Now, I'm not saying we all need to play guitar or anything, but it kind of, sometimes we compare ourselves and think, oh, because one person is already doing that, therefore I can't do it. But everyone is bringing their own song. Everyone sings on Sunday morning, so therefore everyone can kind of contribute their own sound. Does that make sense? Cool. And the thing, so I guess for kind of us as a church, I want us to be encouraging one another to bring out those gifts and not to feel like because someone else has done it, therefore I can't do it. In fact, anything, because someone else could be technically better, they should be encouraging that out of someone else to then feed back into the church. So, and especially because we're looking at a further ahead into the new season, potentially new building, new whatever it's going to look like, we need to be ready as a body with all our equipped skills to get stuck in with what's to come of God. We can't like sit back and just kind of wait for the building to come and then jump in when it's ready. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So we'll go on to the next slide. So we've got the body in our city. Probably my favourite thing about Coventry is the fact that the churches work so well together. Everyone says they all get on. And who's been, put your hand up if you've been to a prayer and praise event? Cool. They're pretty awesome, aren't they? There's something pretty awesome about all these different churches coming from all different backgrounds, all different opinions and everything like that. We all come together and we all praise one person, and that's Jesus. And to me, the first time I kind of went to one of those events, that was like, this is kind of what the bride should look like. Like, this is loads of united individuals all coming together to praise one God and to all focus together and to leave class, culture, everything at the door and just to be like, our eyes are on him. And there's so much stuff that gets done just in prayer and encouragement at those events. And I'm going to take a drink. So if you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, good looking. What's the Holy Spirit cooking? So one of the things, because I love that so much, and that's really my heart for the city of Coventry, and I know it's God's heart as well, it also really hurts when you see division in the church. And that's not just in the city, but that's kind of elsewhere. When you hear of churches splitting up or having a fallout, or even just relationships with one-to-one people within each church kind of breaking up, that really hurts. It literally feels like you're ending a dating relationship. It feels that kind of disconjointed. And I went through this before I came to City Church. So we're all on good terms now, but actually I left very abruptly and kind of damaged a lot of relationships. And that was like probably 6 or 7 years ago now. And it took a long time for those relationships to repair. And I think we have to be cautious that ties and relationships are much, much quicker to break than they are to fix. And God really values relationship because he's always in relationship with us. Therefore, we've got to watch out for that. And I'm speaking from someone who's been there and done that and has felt awkward about it and it's taken a long time to get back there. But really, what I'm saying about this is city prayers is great, but if we stop there, that's lame. So there is nothing wrong with you going and helping out with another church's project. There is nothing wrong with thinking, Ooh, cool. So like, Matthew's a good example of this. You used to do Carriers of Hope, didn't you? Was it? Yes. Yeah. You still do Carriers of Hope. So Matthew goes and you just drive the van for them most. Or is it?
I'm a trucker.
You're a trucker. He's a trucker. Do you wear the hat when you truck? Yeah, so there is nothing disloyal about going and helping another church's project out. A lot of the time I think, what's the point in starting up something new when someone's already else is doing it in the city? And the thing that when you work together with a project, you actually build those relationships and they're forged much deeper than if it's just a coffee catch up or whatever. Like that's nice and everything, but actually working on something together. I know for a fact when I worked with a few lovely people over here with the Sunday evening sessions, our friendship just got together even more so because we worked on a project together. And so there is so much stuff going on in Coventry. If you are struggling to find things, come chat to me because I know guys. So, yeah. But that is pushing the kingdom further out, even if you're just being labour. Like, you don't have to be the brains of something. You don't have to give some crazy gifts or anything like that. It's literally just turning up half the time and just be willing to go, yep, I'm wanting to be involved, want to unite. And then once that starts happening, the connections between churches really interweave and we become, as a city, an unstoppable force of the kingdom of God, which is very exciting. And I don't know many places that are like that, but it's pretty sweet. Cool. Slide 6. So globally. So I think the message I want to run home with this one is that we are not spectators when it comes to the kingdom of God. We're not, again, here's a movie analogy, we're not just watching the movie, we are in the movie with the main hero, which is Jesus at this point. We are not just spectators going, oh, that's cool, oh, I wish I could be an Avenger, oh, yeah, like, oh, this popcorn, yeah. It's like, no, you're in the movie and you're taking part and you're part of the full force. We are part of the plan to unite things, all things together on heaven and earth. We are called, when you gave your life to Christ, you were called by him, right? So you have been called to be a part of that plan. We can be active every step of every day, even in just the small ways, whether it's just us as a church, us in the city, or kind of us kind of globally, if you will. God has always wanted to work with mankind. Old Testament and New Testament, but I like the Old Testament because a lot of it is like Judges, is broken into stories, and it's all of God wanting to use mankind. Now, pretty much every single one of them messes up at least once or at least twice. Like, we get the idea of like David, King David, being this amazing kind of head of his time, thinking about the temple and the worship and all those kinds of things, but actually he messes up big time with sin and everything. But God still wants to walk with you. He's still got grace. His mercy is like unending, essentially. So he is willing to work with you, and he probably knows you're going to mess up at some point or another. Literally, the only person that doesn't mess up is Jesus. So I'm happy with looking at a guy like Samson and going, yep, you messed up pretty bad, but God still used you. Therefore, you can use me, essentially. Yeah, so we'll go to the last slide. So, breaking it down to those three sections, I guess I have three challenges for you. And you could take one, you could take all of them, or just let kind of God speak to you in your own way. Will you commit to building each other up in love in our church that we might benefit from one another and glorify God in those things? So, looking at each other, literally I could sit down and go, Chris Jones, who's been manning the slideshow. Let's give a round of applause to Chris. So within the body, I see Chris as like, he's like the right eye of the body. He can see, he has faith to see things ahead that aren't yet a reality. Or like, you've got Matthew Roof, Paul and Pat, they're like the heart of the body. I'd like to think of myself as the stomach. because I hunger for more, God. And I'm never satisfied because I can eat too, yeah. You know, you got Amar with the spiritual song, so he's like the left hand because that's the hand you do all you're gonna all that stuff. I could sit down and probably go through with everyone here and be like, let's give you a metaphor or something like that to bring out a gift. But the reality is, you all kind of know it's bubbling. You all see each other. Don't be afraid to go and encourage each other about it, being like, yeah, bring this out. Like, why not? If it's something you've done in the past, taken a break from, why not come back in and get stuck in, let it grow even more. Anyway. So, second challenge, will you commit yourself to work to the work God is doing in the city, bringing unity to God's people. So literally, just getting stuck in with something else. Something like, it's great if we put on stuff and people attend that, that's cool. But actually, it goes further than that, us building relationships. Matthew goes for like coffee more, like it's like a cake morning on the Mondays with the other church leaders and everything. Mostly, yeah. Food's not the first priority, yeah. But if we could all commit to one thing, one little thing like that, that would just have a huge impact and amongst the city and just, yeah, it'd be great. Cool. And then the third thing, will you commit to walk with God all the days of your life, wherever he takes you, to build his eternal kingdom into people's lives? So that is basically, that is the whole, yeah, that's the big one, basically. That is the consistent walking with God the whole days of your life. But yeah, I'm just going to leave you with those, really, and see if you accept the challenge. But thanks for listening. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.